Offside. Noboa part 2. V nedeljo je v Ekvadorju potekal drugi krog predsedniških volitev, na katerih je s 55,6% glasov zmagal dosedanji predsednik Daniel Noboa. Predstavnik desničarske stranke Nacionalna demokratična akcija je s tem premagal nasprotnico Luiso Gonzales iz levega gibanja državljanske revolucije, ki je prejela dobrih 44% glasov. Na podlagi anket je bil predviden veliko bolj tesen izid, kar izpostavlja tudi kandidatka gibanja državljanske revolucije, ki Noboa obtožuje volilne goljufije. Aktualni predsednik je bil na oblasti zgolj 18 mesecev, potem ko je odstopil njegov predhodnik Guillermo Lasso, ki je bil marca 2023 obtožen vodenja korupcijske scheme. Lasso je, kot trdi tožilstvo, vedel za schemo poneverb, ki je vključevala pogodbe med državnim podjetjem za transport nafte Flopek in tankarsko družbo, ob tem pa scheme ni ustavil. Da bi se izognil nadaljnim obtožnim postopkom, je Lasso razpustil parlament in razpisal ponovne volitve. Noboa je tako prevzel oblast jeseni istega leta. Njegov iztekajoči se mandat zaznamuje predvsem boj proti organiziranemu kriminalu v obliki mamilarskih tolp. Kako je deloval zadnjih 18 mesecev, povzame John Paul Gahečimovič, politolog z Pomorske akademije v ameriškem Marylandu.
Noboa was elected in a kind of piecemeal fashion, ad hoc fashion, after the previous government fell in kind of a parliamentary fashion. And his mandate was cut short. Obviously, it was only 18 months. And in that time, he was tasked with confronting a security situation that he inherited, one in which Ecuador had gone from being one of the most peaceful countries in Latin America with one of the kind of lowest crime rates and lowest homicide rates to the country with the highest homicide rate. And under his watch, things initially got quite worse. January of 2024, for example, there was a on-air television broadcast where masked men essentially took the television crew hostage. And in response to this and other actions, other violence, Noboa declared a state of emergency across the country and militarized the country's conflict and kind of officially announced it as a conflict. And so this, I would say, marked the beginning of a tough on crime or mano dura security policy. And I think he adopted this with great promise, but it hasn't been that successful. The homicide rate has dropped slightly from 2023 to 2024. But it's not been that effective. And so this election kind of was about whether Ecuadorian voters believed in Noboa or not, I think, in terms of that security policy.
Kot izpostavi sogovorec, je pod skrajšanim mandatom predsednika Noboe stopnja organiziranega kriminala še bolj narasla. Ravno prejšnji mesec se je začel konflikt med nasprotujočima si tolpama v ekvadorskem obalnem mestu Guayaquil. Po poročanju lokalnega časopisa so oboroženi člani skupin zasedli več domov v okrožju Nueva Prosperina in ubili najmanj 22 ljudi, tri pa so ranili. Več o tem, kako kriminalna aktivnost vpliva na vsakdan ljudi, pove Polga Hečim.
The homicide rate is the highest in the Americas, I believe, which would place it, you know, among the highest in the world. And this kind of impacts every aspect of daily life, especially in areas like Durán and Guayaquil and Manta and Esmeraldas, which are coastal cities, which tend to have, in these years, tend to have had higher homicide rates. It's less impactful, I would say, in some of the highland cities, Nonetheless, crime there has also increased. Crime and violence have also increased. Repeated states of emergency in several provinces mean that people have to be indoors at night, right? They can't go outside. It curtails nightlife. It cordons off sections of cities. And I think, you know, above all, it just inculcates a sense of fear among citizenry, right? That their country isn't safe, that they can't go out, that they shouldn't go out. And you know, I think it's hard to overstate the psychological effect that has on a population.
Oba predsedniška kandidata sta se zaradi organiziranega kriminala kot glavnega problema v Ekvadorju tematiki posebej posvetila v predvolilni kampanji. Luisa Gonzalez je na začetku svoje karijere delovala pod okriljem nekdanjega predsednika Rafaela Correa, čigar zapuščina jo zaznamuje še danes. Correa, ki je predsedniški mandat prvič prevzel leta 2007, se je v svoji politiki skušal odmakniti od neoliberalnega gospodarskega modela in zmanjšati vpliv institucij kot sta Svetovna banka in Mednarodni denarni sklad. Kot razloži sogovorec, tudi v reševanju glavnega problema Gonzalez sledi njegovemu primeru, ki je praktično nasproten primeru nobene. Razlike med strankama kandidatov razjasni Polga Hečimov.
There are great differences in his ADN party compared to Luisa Gonzalez's RC party. They're kind of complete opposites on the ideological spectrum. With regards to security policy, so his party is right of center and her party is left of center. And his security policy is this militarized, tough on crime approach that presidents like Nayib Bukele and El Salvador have pursued. And this is to confront criminality with strength, in many cases military strength, rather than just the police force. It is, in many cases, a suspension of civil liberties and rights in an attempt to go after crime and violence. And the approach proposed by his opponent, Luisa Gonzalez, was a security policy that is reminiscent of kind of community policing approaches used in places like Cuba and Nicaragua, and even under her predecessor in Ecuador, Rafael Correa, in kind of between 2007 and 2017 when he was president. This approach uses members of the community to coordinate with police and to kind of triangulate and intervene in crime before it occurs. So it's a completely different approach. Beyond the security policies, the candidates had different approaches to the economy. Noboa is, you know, very neoliberal in his economic approach, pro-free trade. Luisa is more protectionist in terms of foreign policy. Noboa is pro-US and has been kind of overtly pro-Trump in recent months in his attempt to get reelected, whereas Luisa has been more circumspect, and I imagine someone who would be less likely and less willing to partner with the United States.
Kot že povedano, je Gonzalez v nedeljskem drugem krogu volitev prejela dobrih 10% manj glasov kot Noboa. Glede na to, da je šlo za slabši rezultat, kot so ga pričakovali, je kandidatka izjavila, da bo zaprosila za ponovno štetje glasov, čeprav državni volilni zbor volitve označuje kot povsem transparentne. S tem se strinjajo tudi opazovalci Organizacije ameriških držav in Evropske unije, ki so izključili nepravilnosti v drugem krogu volitev. Dejstvo, da stranka Daniela Noboe ni bila nikoli prej upletena v goljufije, kakršne jih obtožuje nasprotnica, oriše sogovorec.
Noboa's party, like most Ecuadorian parties, didn't even exist prior to his election in the last electoral cycle. Something very important to understand about Ecuadorian parties and the party system is that it's maybe among the most weakly institutionalized and weakest in the world. And that's a major problem with trying to build kind of stable politics, especially in a system that often relies on coalitions to manage the president's legislative agenda. So that said, there is no history of his party engaging in fraud. Nonetheless, there is a kind of a proud history in recent years of losing candidates casting aspersions on the victor and declaring that the victor used fraud in winning the election, both on the left and on the right. And so this accusation just kind of fits into that established pattern, I think.
Ekvador se poleg kriminala tolp sooča z drugimi težavami, ki sta se jih kandidata komaj, če sploh, dotaknila v svojih predvolilnih načrtih. Polga Hečimovič pojasni, s katerimi drugimi problematikami se bo moral neizbežno spopasti Noboa.
I think the two major issues beyond security are the economy and energy. I'll begin with the last one. In recent years, the country has been prone to kind of rolling blackouts as low reservoir levels, low water levels in reservoirs have weakened hydroelectric production. And this has been exacerbated by really hot weather and droughts, probably due to climate change. And Noboa doesn't seem to have a good solution for this. The second problem is simply economics, right? The Ecuadorian economy is not growing at the rate that I suspect would make most citizens comfortable. And poverty is also something that drives people towards illicit industry. So I think that's kind of a big, deep-seated and structural challenge that Noboa has to confront is generating growth. He didn't emphasize those issues as much. I think because they're losing issues for him. He spoke kind of in broad rhetorical terms about promoting economic growth, but didn't really give specifics as to how he would achieve that. I suspect that he's betting on trade with the United States, but that is a risky proposition at a moment where the U.S. president has kind of unilaterally imposed tariffs on countries throughout the world. And so it will be interesting to see what Noboa does and if kind of trade with the United States doesn't increase if he pivots towards China or other countries.
Sočasno z drugim krogom predsedniških volitev pa so potekale tudi volitve članov državne skupščine, članov 21 provincialnih skupščin in predstavnikov Ekvadorja v andskem parlamentu. Čeprav ima Ekvador predsedniški sistem, sogovorec pojasni pomembno vlogo skupščine.
The Ecuador National Assembly, like all legislative bodies and presidential systems, is separate from the presidency and provides an important counterweight to the presidency. In Ecuadorian history, no president has held a majority in the National Assembly except for Rafael Correa, again, the president from 2007 to 2017. This is quite remarkable because it means that presidents have to negotiate for support within the legislature in order to get bills passed. It's a kind of a necessary step to take. And so this has been quite unusual, this type of negotiation in a system where kind of the setup isn't built for that, right? Because it's not parliamentarism. And so oftentimes presidents have engaged in vote buying and things like this and been accused of corruption as a consequence. In this case, it's quite interesting because the generally multi-party system, having representation for, you know, 8 parties or 10 parties, is really a big two-block legislature now, where González's RC party has a little less than 50% of the seats, and Noboa's party has a little less than 50% of the seats, with other small parties kind of sprinkled around with seats. What this means is that Noboa is going to have to kind of pick off some of these other seats if he wants to govern. Ideally, he would get some of the González party representatives to defect to his party. But it's unclear if he'll be able to do so. So I really think that figuring out how the legislature will vote, if they will support Noboa, is key to understanding his party's governance and the effectiveness that he will have in office.
Noboa je nasledil vrsto predsednikov, ki niso dočakali konca svojega mandata. Napoved, kako bo ta zapuščina vplivala na njegovo prihodnost na poziciji, predstavi Polga Hečimovič.
I think that it's important to recognize that several presidents in Ecuador have failed to finish their terms in power. Between 1997 and 2005, three consecutive democratically elected presidents were removed from office before their terms ended. And we just saw with Guillermo Lasso, who was president from 2021 to 2023, he faced three impeachment attempts. And then on the third attempt, used the Muerte Cruzada figure from the Constitution to dissolve Congress and call for early elections. And so I think that if the Noboa government stalls, if security policy fails to kind of curb violence and insecurity, and essentially if he fails to fulfill his mandate, keep an eye on the possibility of him being removed from office.
Noboa se je pri svoji kandidaturi osredotočil zlasti na načrt zatiranja organiziranega kriminala, ki je zaradi svoje agresivne neposrednosti voljivcem izstopal bolj kot program nasprotnice. Mnoge druge težave, ki preplavljajo Ekvador, pa za zdaj ostajajo še nenaslovljene. Offside je pripravila Vajenka Iman, zraven je kavico pila Neva.